How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melodies.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the reigning Jays. Today it's me, Jay King from MassLive.com. I'm going to be joined by NBA draft expert Sam Vecenie of The Sporting News. He had a great interview with him. He gave a lot of insight into this draft, different prospects, how deep the draft actually is with all-stars, basically what the Celtics can be expecting from the Brooklyn Nets pick. So I thought that was a really helpful interview to help me understand the draft class and some of the players in it and how some of the players might fit with the Celtics. Before we get to that, I got to give you a word from the sponsors, BetDSI.com. Do you love basketball? Well, I'm assuming you do since you're listening to this podcast. Are you ready to get into the action? Check out BetDSI.com. They've had over 20 years in the business. They're top rated in the business. They are safe. It's easy to play there. It's fantastic to play there. BetDSI.com has a great basketball special. Sign up today and get $10 free to try their service. BetDSI is also offering a 100% bonus on your first deposit. So if you put in $100, they will give you $100 free. That is one heck of a first deposit bonus. You might want to put in more. They'll give you more. Just don't gamble it away. BetDSI has great customer service. They have fast and easy payment of winnings. Hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. You also get UFC. And basically, you can bet on anything. Before the election, you could even bet on Trump versus Clinton odds. Basically, I mean, anything you can think of, almost, they've got it. BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on all football, basketball, and other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI. So go to BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Go there now. Use the promotion code Celtics10. That's Celtics10. Get your free wager and start winning today. All right, so go to BetDSI.com, pause the podcast, go check it out, go make your bets, place your wagers. I'll wait. We can pause this. And now, since you're back, we will go to the interview with NBA draft expert Sam Vecenie. All right, so we're here with Sam Vecenie from The Sporting News, top draft expert. You write about basically every sport, don't you? Is there a sport you don't write about, man?
I don't really write too much about other sports. I write mostly about basketball, but I follow baseball. Right now, the Pirates are about to deal one of my favorite baseball players of all time. I'm from Pittsburgh, so it's a dark time in my baseball fanhood, but I do.
I'm sorry about that, man.
I do try and, you know, keep up with a wide variety of sports.
There you go. So obviously you are an NBA draft expert, one of the best out there at it. The Celtics, they're sitting in a good position with that Brooklyn Nets pick. I've read a lot about this draft. I've heard a lot about this draft. A lot of people are saying that not only is there top-end talent, but there's a depth of top-end talent. I guess let's start with this. How would you characterize this class of prospects as a whole?
The polar opposite of 2016. The 2016 draft was just a disaster in many ways. It was not necessarily as bad as 2013, but it's pretty close. If you look around at the production of the rookies so far, I think that it's something like 9 rookies are averaging over 5 points a game even. And at this point last year, it was like 16 or 17. Like, it's just been cut in half, and there's no standout rookie. Like, I think Jamal Murray might be the only guy averaging over 10 or right around 10. So, you know, that class is not necessarily one that's going to pay off all that well, but this class looks incredibly strong in terms of lottery talent, and we're starting to get a bit more depth. We're starting to find guys in the, you know, 20 to, you know, 40 range that I wasn't sure were going to be there coming into the year. But a lot of the, you know, more under the radar, quote unquote, you know, everyone's scouted so much now these days. You know, freshmen are really stepping up. Like, there are kids like TJ Leaf and Robert Williams and, you know, Zach Collins at Gonzaga, guys like that, Justin Patton at Creighton. Like, you know, there are a lot of like higher, you know, upside younger players that are starting to become real options in terms of being able to, you know, maybe declare for the draft and strengthen that, you know, 20 to 40 range.
So is it kind of similar to the class of a couple years ago with Porzingis in them, or is it not that strong? Obviously, that was one of the strongest drafts in recent memory.
That was definitely one of the strongest drafts. 2015, the big thing with 2015 was, you know, you go back and look at it, that was another one with tremendous depth. You look at, you know, the, I'm trying to think, like the Raptors getting Norman Powell at 46, and, you know, the Rockets getting a real contributor, Montrezl Harrell at 32, who's their backup center right now because of the whole Domantas Sabonis thing.
He's good, man.
Montrez is fun.
Yeah, he got good in the NBA quicker than I thought he was going to.
Yeah, he was a guy that I had like as a top, you know, like 22 or so guy in that class. He's like kind of a crazy person, for one, which is, you know, kind of, you always want a little bit of that in your backup center. But the way the game is downsized has really helped him, and I think that playing that up-tempo system with Mike D'Antoni has really helped him too. But even guys beyond him, like, I think Tyus Jones looks like a legitimate NBA player. I think that, you know, Bobby Portis is getting real minutes at 21 for Chicago, even though his performance has been a little bit more up and down. I would point to another class, though, that I think is maybe the strongest of the last little while. It's the It's the Derrick Rose, you know, Michael Beasley, Russell Westbrook class, I think is the one that that's the one that I look at that is a little bit similar to this. Like, there isn't necessarily a hyper elite generational talent in this class, I would say. Like, there's no Anthony Davis in this class, in my opinion. You know, Rose and Beasley were both really high level players, but no one really thought Rose would develop into, you know, MVP caliber player. You know, no one thought that you were going to build an entire organization around Michael Beasley and, you know, hope that it went well. But there were, you know, guys like Rose, Beasley, Westbrook, Love, Gallinari, you know, guys like that, that have turned into very real, Eric Gordon, turned into very real, like, all-star caliber players. I think this draft goes like potentially 7 deep or so in like all-star caliber players.
That's pretty good. Obviously the one you hear a lot about is Markelle Fultz. I actually haven't seen him play yet, but I've seen highlights. I know the Celtics are really high on him. Mm-hmm. I think he's projected number one at every place I've seen. I guess what separates him from all the other great point guards in this class?
So, yeah, I would also have Fultz at number one right now. It's funny. Like, I just wrote a thing on Sporting News that'll be out on Thursday, I believe, about how Fultz is in just a total disaster situation at Washington. It's not like from an NBA perspective, there are subtle differences if you're a college basketball fan, but like from an NBA perspective, it's really not all that different from the Ben Simmons at LSU situation. If you're just looking at it from afar, that team plays no defense. They've given up in their four games against KenPom top 150 opponents. They're giving up a, 123.4 points per 100 possessions. That is
not good. So I was following your tweets about their game last night, and we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, and I was just laughing, man. Like, you were like, I just want to give Markelle Fultz a hug.
I do. Like, seriously, there was a play where Gonzaga has a big man named Shemek Karnowski. He's a 7'1" 300-pound big guy from Poland.
I love that dude. That dude,
he's great. He's awesome. Like, he passes the ball. He's a great low post player. He's a great rim protector. He's also a guy who just last year was, you know, laid up with a back injury so debilitating that he couldn't walk. There was a play where he ran baseline to baseline after a made basket, beat the entire team, beat Washington's entire team down the floor for a transition dunk after a made basket by Washington. Like, what are we doing here? Like, come on, you got to at least give some sort of effort. And let's be honest here. Like, Fultz is a major part of that. Like, he doesn't know how to play defense yet at all. And he, you know, I don't think he really gives enough effort on the defensive end, on, like, at Washington right now. But, you know, he's 6'4", 6'10" wingspan. You know, maybe in the right situation, he'll be able to bring that along. But offensively is where he, you know, just outclasses everyone, I think. You look at his creativity, first and foremost, is the attribute that I point to. This kid has the ability to, you know, spin on a dime at any single point and create space. He has a pretty wicked crossover dribble already that can create space at any point. He has the, you know, pretty solid ability to turn the corner. Maybe not like hyper elite ability to turn the corner like a Derrick Rose did, but he has good ability to turn the corner and get all the way to the rim. He has the kind of explosiveness to where he can go up for a massive tomahawk dunk at any point. You know, he's a really good passer for his teammates. He's not necessarily like Lonzo Ball or De'Aaron Fox in this class, but he's, you know, just that level below. And there's really just not much he can't do. He is a great shooter who knocks down shots that, you know, takes his shots from the top of his jump, makes it really difficult to block. It's a really fluid looking jumper. He's improved from 3-point range this season. Offensively, there's really not much he can't do. And that's incredibly valuable as a lead guard in today's NBA. So, yeah, I think that it's fair to have him at number one.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.
Is he good enough that if the Celtics do get lucky and get that number one pick, it wouldn't matter that they already have an all-star point guard in Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah, that whole situation is so tricky because, you know, I think Isaiah is a free agent after next season, right? Yeah. So they need to kind of make their decision on if they want to max out Isaiah because that's what it's going to take to keep him, or if they think that that's maybe not the best decision. I would personally take Fultz, pair him with Avery Bradley, make that your backcourt of the future. I think that's a terrifying combination for a wide variety of reasons, mostly to do with how they would pair and how they'd be able to switch off onto, you know, guards just about equally due to their size and length and Bradley's tenacity defensively. You could never really worry about the opposing team's best offensive threat from the perimeter, just how the Celtics don't really have to now, but Fultz would provide a little bit more utility defensively if they wanted to switch a little bit more. You know, Thomas is a great player. I don't think that anyone now denies how incredibly gifted he is as a scorer and how he's become a terrific playmaker for others after, you know, maybe starting out his career as a little bit more of a scorer for himself, a little bit more of a microwave off the bench, so to speak. But, you know, I think the Celtics are going to have a difficult call. And I think right now, if the draft was held today, I would take Fultz if they got number one.
Yeah, and I know they really like Fultz. They're really high on him. They're in such a weird position because it's like they have all this talent. They're probably one real star away from giving the Cavs, whoever, a run in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And, but they'll also have to decide, like, Thomas, Bradley, or Thomas and Smart are both up for free agency after next season. So you're going to have to decide whether you're going to pivot, go younger, stick with the current core. So they'll have to make a lot of decisions. In this current draft class, there are a ton of really good point guards. It's stacked. And it's been fun to get to know these guys' names because I think they all play a little differently. That Lonzo Ball matchup with De'Aaron Fox was all sorts of entertaining. Like, I just really enjoy Lonzo Ball. Is like, I hate the Jason Kidd comparisons because Jason Kidd is one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Yeah.
And Lonzo Ball is not nearly as strong. There are a lot of, I think he has some flaws that will hurt him in the NBA level that haven't hurt him in college yet. But what do you think of the rest of the point guards beyond Fultz?
Yeah, I think that it goes potentially five deep in the lottery, which if you look at the last three or so drafts, you know, there has not been an influx of point guards like this, you know, in, I would say, 4 or 5 years at least. This league is desperately in need of point guards. I know that maybe Celtics fans don't realize it, but like you look around the NBA and you look at who some of these backup point guards are, there really aren't that many around. Like, everyone talks about the strength of the point guard position. And at the top end, I wholly agree. You know, we're in a golden age of point guards in terms of the elite talents, but there has kind of become this little cavity of, you know, people who can run an offense competently off the bench. And this draft's really going to help that. You look at guys like Dennis Smith, you look at Lonzo Ball, Frank Ntilikina, you know, there are just so many guys. You know, I think Malik Monk, maybe he can eventually run a little bit of offense. Right now, he's definitely more of an off-ball shooter athlete. But
I love watching that guy shoot the ball. He's got a great stroke.
He does. And the funny thing is, the biggest question with him coming into his college season was consistency shooting the ball, because in high school, he really wasn't that consistent of a shooter. He'd have games where he'd go 7 for 10 and then games where he'd go 2 for 10. So, you know, you look at what Monk can do as a shooter. He's going to be a really interesting guy. And like I said, De'Aaron Fox, all these guys, they're terrific point guards. It's going to be a great influx of talent in terms of that Fox versus Ball matchup. Yeah, I agree. That was tremendous. But it did show some of the major flaws in Lonzo Ball's game, because De'Aaron Fox basically got straight up in his grill early in the game and kind of took him out of the first half. You know, Ball ended up with 14 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 6 turnovers or whatever. But and that's a crazy line for most players, you know, against Kentucky.
That's a crazy line.
But it really wasn't his best game, and it showed off some of the flaws he's going to have in the NBA. He's not a guy that necessarily, you know, in the half court is going to break down a player off the pick and roll and get into the teeth of the defense, get into the middle of what a team is trying to do on defense, and then create plays for others or create players for himself. And then the other big question about Lonzo is, you know, that jump shot is, it's fine off the catch. It has that weird release point all the way from the left side of his body, and it's a quick release, but he gets it off.
Kevin Martin's.
A little bit, yeah. It's even more to the left side of his body than Martin, though, which poses a set of problems, right, whenever he's trying to shoot off the dribble in the mid-range in the NBA, because I think it's going to be really difficult for him to shoot when he's going to his right. He's going to have to just like kind of think about the mechanics of how, you know, a player when he's going to his right, trying to, you know, step up off the pull up and knock down a shot. How does a guy who shoots from the left side of his body bring that ball all the way over to the left side of his body and still maintain the space that he's created in the mid range to get a clean look off? And then you look at just the mechanics of the shot. It has good arc from the 3-point line, but I'm not sure that it's going to maintain that from the mid range if he's trying to pull up. So he's going to have to develop like some floaters, some little push shots, stuff like that, to maintain his efficiency inside the lane, I think, and inside the 3-point line. Because if you look at what he's doing as of last Friday before the Kentucky game, he was shooting 85% of his shots from at the rim or from the behind the 3-point line. And the idea of this modern point guard is tremendous in the NBA, and you know, modern basketball, you know, pace and space, threes and shots at the rim, that's all great, but you also need to have the ability to be a threat within the mid-range, or else teams will play you going toward the rim or going you know, closing out hard on the 3-point line. So he's going to be a really interesting guy to watch developmentally, because he could go so many different ways that it's fascinating.
Yeah, I love watching him in college. He's so much fun, especially the way he pushes the ball up the court. I love when guys are so unselfish, not just looking for assists, but just looking to push the pace, get teammates open looks, get teammates the ball in space. Beyond the point guards, seems like there's a lot of wings, I guess, in the top half of the lottery, or threatening to be in the top half of the lottery. Who are some of the guys that impress you most there?
I would point to three guys right now. Jason Tatum played his second game at Duke, I believe, against Florida on Tuesday.
I didn't know he had that much defensive potential.
You know, that's something that he would occasionally show at some events in, you know, AAU or some events like Hoop Summit, those, you know, like NBA scouting events where they invite the top 15 kids in the class or whatever. Not like he showed against Florida, though. What he was doing in terms of being able to switch on to a wide variety of players and really getting up in guys' grills, that's not a new development, but it's also a very welcome development in terms of showing it more consistently, possession after possession after possession. You add that to his offensive game, which is as polished as I have seen for a, you know, 6'5" to 6'9" wingish forwardish kind of guy, you know, in a long time. You know, I trying to think back to even like around the Kevin Durant era, like I would say that his game is that special in terms of the way he can create space to get his shot off. He needs to extend his range a little bit out to the 3-point line. And I think he needs to be a little bit more consistent in getting to the rim and not settling for mid-range shots. But, you know, NBA scouts are in love with Tatum. I would be surprised if he would fall out of the top four of this draft, just because if you look around the NBA, like I said about point guards, you know, there being a relative dearth of point guards in the NBA, like a little hole in terms of that, like, you know, 40 to 60 point guard ranking range. You know, in general, the NBA teams are just in desperate need of wings, especially to play smaller, more consistently. And Tatum, I think, can bring that. He's going to be able to play the 3 and 4 relatively easy, I think. Josh Jackson, I think, is the number two wing. Jackson has been really good at Kansas. He's kind of Bill Self's prototypical wing, because he's a great passer, a good straight line driver, you know, gets out in transition and can find teammates or finish above the rim. He's a, you know, high level defender. Just in terms of effort, you never have to worry about this kid playing hard. He's always going to give it 100%, and that gives him a relatively high floor. Like, I would be surprised if we looked up in 5 years and Josh Jackson wasn't starting in the NBA somewhere. He might not necessarily have the ceiling that some of these other guys do until his jump shot comes around, and until he can differentiate his, you know, change of pace off or on the ball, or change of direction on the ball. But, you know, this kid is probably going to be an NBA starter, and that's incredibly valuable on the wing. Finally, I would look at Jonathan Isaac as kind of the, you know, high upside kid right now. He's right around 6'10-ish, 6'11-ish with a relatively long wingspan, 9-foot standing reach as a 3-4 player. And he's shooting the ball really well so far. He's defending really well under Leonard Hamilton at Florida State. And, you know, these kids who have underdeveloped bodies, like Isaac is still right around that, like, probably 205, 210 pound range. These kids can go one of two ways. Either, you know, sometimes they don't necessarily fill out, but the kids who do fill out end up becoming, you know, these explosive, you know, freaky guys at 6'10" who can really just kind of power through players. And I think that Isaac has that potential. It, you know, it's always kind of a fool's errand projecting how players' bodies are going to fill out, but he does have the frame to take on more weight, and he could eventually develop a bit more explosiveness because of it and become like a legitimate all-star player.
It's funny because every time I watch Josh Jackson, I think, oh man, that's like the perfect Celtic. Like, he can't shoot yet. He can do a bit of everything else. He hustles his balls off. Josh Jackson is the perfect Celtics draft pick. My next question is going to be stupid. I know it's a stupid question. It's a completely premature question.
I wholly embrace stupid questions.
I'm glad, because this definitely qualifies. Which player possibly in the top half of the lottery do you think would fit best with the current Celtics roster?
I don't know. That wasn't that dumb of a question.
Thanks.
Oh, man. I might say Jason Tatum. I would like to see the Celtics gain a little bit more creation on the wing, right? Because, like, I think Jaylen Brown and Jay Crowder, like, those guys, Crowder's case, he's already really good. Jaylen Brown, I think he's going to be a really good role player. Those guys are awesome in terms of the value they provide to a team, but they aren't necessarily the best shot creators, right? Like, I think it would be interesting to get a guy in there who could really create a shot, who would fit in defensively with what they want to do, not necessarily be on the elite level in guarding wings like a Marcus Smart or a Crowder or like a Jaylen Brown can be, but it would provide a different dimension, I think. And I would really like to see, maybe replace Jonas Jerebko's minutes with Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I was really high on Tatum going into college, and then to see the defense, I was really surprised by how well he handled himself defensively in that second game he played against Florida. He was just as you said, he switched, he stayed in front of guys, he contested shots, just really an impressive defensive performance, especially considering that this is a guy who offensively is really polished, like you said. Last question here. And this is going to think back to last year. I think a lot of Celtics fans were surprised when they took Jaylen Brown. I guess, what did you think of the selection at the time? And has anything that happened since changed your mind about that?
So I had Jaylen Brown at number 4 on my board last year. I think that the problem with the Celtics in that spot was always going to be they had, I think, 8 picks in that draft last year. They had...
It was crazy.
Literally probably the worst possible pick to have at number 3 in terms of expectations and what people would expect to gain out of a selection like that. Jaylen Brown in this draft class would probably be closer to, like, I would say maybe 10th overall, something like that right now. Like, look at a guy like OG Anunoby. Anunoby already provides way more defensive value. He's a little bit better of a shooter. It's easier to see him slotting into a lineup right now than it is to see Jaylen Brown slotting into a lineup in many ways, just because of he's a little bit bigger, a little bit longer. And he can shoot the ball. He's a little bit more amenable as a role player in terms of what the Celtics are trying to do on the wing there. So, it's just a really hard situation. Plus, there was all of the trade talk that went along with that pick. If you weren't going to trade the pick, I think Jaylen Brown or Dragan Bender was probably the right pick, to be honest. Those guys are both incredibly talented. They're incredibly gifted. Brown maybe fits a little bit more with the athleticism that the Celtics want on the wing, whereas Bender would have provided, many of the skills that they got whenever they signed Al Horford, but not knowing that they were going to sign Horford, Jaylen or Dragan Bender would have been a tremendous pick as well. But given that they got Horford, they got many of those same skills. Looking back on it, I think that Jaylen was a fine pick. They could have taken Chris Dunn and started this point guard process earlier, but I would say that there are, 4 to 5 better point guards in this draft class than Chris Dunn. So it's not an easy decision by any means. They were put in a really bad spot. And, like I said, Jaylen Brown is, I think, going to be a really solid pro player for a good while.
Yeah, the way I heard it was that the number one pick, Ben Simmons, was a regular number one pick, deserved to be a number one pick. The number two pick, Brandon Ingram, was probably better than most number two picks. And then the number three pick and beyond, it kind of slipped. That three spot was where it slipped not drastically, but there was a big drop off there. And yeah, Jaylen Brown's been fine. He's shown a lot of potential. He's had a few good games in a row. But anyway, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate your insight. Really appreciate your time. I always enjoy reading your stuff. Always well contemplated, well thought out, and really appreciate it.
Yeah, Jay, anytime, feel free to reach out, and I appreciate the kind words.
All right, terrific. Everybody go follow Sam on Twitter at Sam_Vecenie. That's Vecenie. He's you're fun on Twitter, man.
It's because I talk about like 95 different things. Like half the time I'm talking about like movies because like my background was in that for a while, and like I talk about a bunch of sports because I like a lot of different sports, like college football, and really the only thing I don't talk about is the NFL. So if you don't want to see NFL talk and you want to see talk about everything else, I would say that following me is a good idea.
Yeah, insight. Jokes, humor, I love it. Everybody go follow Sam on Twitter. Thanks again, man. Really appreciate your time.
Yep, anytime.
All right, that was some insightful stuff from Sam Vecenie, draft expert from The Sporting News. That Celtics pick from the Nets, it's going to be a good one. No matter where they land with that pick, it's going to be probably in the top half of the lottery, and the Celtics are going to have some talented players to choose from, maybe some potential all-stars to choose from. All good stuff for the Celtics, who right now stand 13-9. If you hear this Friday morning when it gets published, they will be waiting for a big game against the Toronto Raptors, Eastern Conference finalist Toronto Raptors. We will not be doing a podcast about that game because we're just Monday through Friday, but we are the only daily Celtics podcast out there. If you want to subscribe to us, search for Locked On Celtics Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Audioboom, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever else. Subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating, come back every day, and yeah, thank the Brooklyn Nets. Thank them every day for the trade they made 3 years ago that it just keeps on giving. This is the Christmas spirit. And, man, thank you, Billy King. That's it for this edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.